you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you quite a bit, and even more than that. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day, good noon, good night, good dawn, good brunch, good AM, good PM, good desk. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. Also with me today on the podcast, as always, one of the only other host, Amber Kenny, is here.
Hello.
So I have a question for you, because you are the resident Long Shot podcast social media guru.
Sure.
And I'm just curious, and I don't know, I can't remember. This morning, signed up for a new platform called
Threads. Yes.
And I'm curious to know your take on the whole social media revolution that is Threads.
I mean, I have less of a take than I should, probably, like, professionally. I am not interested in it at all, personally. Right. We have to engage with it. At work, it's fine. I don't know. That's what I mean. Like, I should have more of a POV.
Right. So why are you not interested in it personally?
I'm not interested in social media personally.
Right.
Like, at all.
You're over that whole...
I know. I lurk a little bit, but it's not enough to get me to sign up for a new platform.
You don't think it will help your career?
What career?
I do think it's interesting. I mean, I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think they said, like, in the first 3 days, like 400 billion people signed up for it or something like that. Like, it was...
It had huge growth, and Twitter keeps seeing decline. So there's a direct... correlation. I guess I do have a little bit of a POV. I guess I feel strange.
I knew it.
About the fact that it's very dangerously close to a social media monopoly. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's Meta doing Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. I don't know. It just makes me uneasy. At least, like, Twitter is an imperfect platform even more so every day. Right. But at least it was, like, in the hands of a different egomaniac. I don't know.
If we got to be controlled by billionaires, at least let's let it be more than one.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's this crazy situation where fucking Elon Musk is a piece of shit and Mark Zuckerberg is a piece of shit. And it's very hard to say which of them is a bigger piece of shit and more exploitative of humanity, but
they have their own unique nuanced take on.
Well, but also we're in this weird situation where we're rooting for one over the other. Mm. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I am like, I hope Twitter gets taken down because of all the shit that's gone on the last couple of years. I mean, I've always been not a fan of Twitter. Like, I've just was never good at it. I didn't understand it. I didn't know how to do things for it. But it was that thing of, like, it'll be good for your career. Make sure you have Twitter and you can promote yourself and do things and get jobs and work hard and be comedy and be successful.
Right.
That was my mother. And
she's a stage mom. Yeah. Smile, Sean. Smile.
But I always kind of hated it. Like, I felt obligated by it, you know, like I felt like I had to. And then the whole Elon Musk thing happened and the transformation was instantaneous.
Right.
It was suddenly every other tweet in my feed was Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, that was the stuff that was being pushed by the algorithm. And I don't even understand all that stuff about algorithms. I did just read a thing about the new Mission Impossible movie. Mm-hmm. And apparently in the new Mission Impossible movie, the bad guy is an algorithm who thinks that Tom Cruise is the only person who can take him, or that Ethan, whatever his name is.
It might as well be Tom Cruise.
Right. And so the whole objective is that it's an algorithm trying to kill him throughout the movie, which is hilarious to me. But anyway, it was a nightmare. Like, it was just disgusting on a relentless basis. And I actually read a really good breakdown of what happened to Twitter from a guy on Twitter, which, you know, it sounds like an Alanis Morissette song. But he basically was saying, like, you know, there was this whole thing where scientifically it was proven that Twitter had a right-wing bias, basically, as it was producing content from 2018, 2019. There was just way more right-wing stuff being pushed. But because the right-wing people, their whole thing is
crybabies.
We're people are trying to hold us back. It became this thing of like freedom of speech, and why are we not allowed to say whatever we want? And it was kind of fascinating to read. And then there was the Twitter files, which was Elon Musk saying, yes, it was true, even though there was no basis for that. But anyway, but then the flip side of it is, yeah, so anyway, it's a garbage app at this point. I still have it, but I'm like, it just causes me agita every day. And I say agita because I speak many languages. And the thing that you're saying is also really valid, which is like, it's becoming Big Brother. It's like, it's the metaverse. We're all in, you know, we're all in Mark Zuckerberg's world ultimately, which is why I still am on Gitter and Parler and Rumble and Truth Social, all the great apps.
Yeah. I was hanging out with a couple of friends yesterday, and we were joking that, like, in 10 years, we're all going to be working for the same company because there'll only be one company, like, with all of these, like, mergers upon mergers upon mergers.
Not to mention acquisitions. I feel like you can't say mergers without acquisitions.
Right. I felt like it was implied, but
it's like kit and caboodle or peanut butter and jelly. Like, they go together.
Right, you
know?
Right.
Salt and pepper, you know.
Right.
Both great rappers. But anyway, I just think it's funny that there's this whole new thing. And, you know, I'm on there and I was looking at it today, and it's like, it's horrible, but it's also way better than Twitter at this point, you know.
Okay, tell me why for both.
Well, because Twitter is so full of just things that will rile you up. Like, it's just about
it'll
agitating.
Get there. It'll
no,
get
no, no.
There.
I agree. I think it will. It's just the first 400 billion people who signed up.
It's a bunch of brands being like, hey, we're not advertising to you.
Right. So we'll see. But part of me is like, why am I doing this? But I also feel like, you know, I still have hopes of someday having a career, so I have to keep up with that stuff, you know.
But what is good about, is that it doesn't rile you up.
Yeah, I just was looking through it, and part of it is, and I'm sure this will change too, but I feel like the stuff that gets pushed by the algorithm into your feed is not hateful, vile, divisive, awful things. I mean, I'm sure it is for some people who follow a lot of people like that, but I don't follow a lot of people like that. So I'm just getting like, hey, the sun is shining, like that kind of thing on my, you know.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, it's a
little obvious, but
it's a weather report and an uplifting sentiment, you know.
And just like, there's a chair over there. Like, it's just like, there's no emotion tied to it at all. It's just fact.
I like wearing hats. All right. Well, this is a part of the show that we call Checking In, and we start the show with that every time. So why not today? So let's start today with Amber. Checking In, what has been going on.
Yeah, you are not the only traveler on this podcast. Since we spoke, I was in New York City.
The Big Apple.
And boy, oh boy, was it hot. Like, it feels cold here compared to, it was so miserably hot and humid. But I went for work. There was an event. I was covering sort of two separate events, one in Manhattan at FAO Schwartz and one in New Jersey. So I was there. I flew in Wednesday. The event was Thursday. The other event was Friday. And then I flew home Saturday morning. So it was a quick little jaunt. But
you love jaunts. You're going on jaunts all the time.
I am.
You're a jaunter.
Yeah. That's going to be my first thread. I like jaunts.
Hey, anybody else a jaunter?
But one, it just felt kind of cool and grown up and professional to be like flying across the country for work. That felt like I was a big girl. And
first class, I'm assuming.
No, sir. No, sir. But
aisle seat.
I did get an aisle seat. Mm-hmm. Very nice choice. But I mean, not having to pay for the flight is
it's a big
very
deal.
Nice. Mm-hmm. But originally, my boss was supposed to be coming too, and so we had a lot of plans for that trip, and I didn't really have to think about them that much because the plan was I was just going to kind of be a little duckling behind him. Mm-hmm. And he had a family emergency. So I ended up going by myself. So I had to like be like, okay, where am I going? How am I going to get there? What time do I need to be there? So I was like navigating Manhattan all by myself. And I was
The ugly duckling takes flight. And I don't.
Thank
I'm not
you.
Trying to imply.
I appreciate it.
I just think that's the most famous of all the ducklings.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean,
when you think of a duckling, you think of an ugly duckling, right?
Which is ironic because it's not a duckling.
Well, spoiler alert.
I know. Sorry if you haven't caught up on Mother Goose.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
But I was still working. So I was like checking in with my team, which is such a funny, like, I sound like whatever. Who am I? What am I?
Amber, go for Amber.
And they
Red
were like,
leader, this is Blue Six.
They were like, how is New York? And I said, surreal. And they said, how so? And I was like, I think I grew up on a farm. Like, I still consider myself at heart a country mouse. And so to be just like navigating Manhattan by myself. And then, we're at these events and all of the mucky mucks were supposed to be there, like my boss and then other heads of departments. And it all fell through and I was the sole representative from DreamWorks. Mm-hmm. And so it was like it was an activation for one of our brands. So all of the people working the event were on high alert about mucky mucks being there. And then I was the mucky muck. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would say like, oh, hey, should there be music? And everyone would like run to go get music. And I was like,
I'm trying to remember who started DreamWorks. Wasn't it like Geffen and Spielberg and
Katzenberg?
Katzenberg.
Famously.
Yeah. So they were like, are you Steve Spielberg? Like,
Yes, I am. So that was surreal. It was surreal for people to be like, is everything okay? And I like in my heart, I'm the one who's like, is everything okay? You know, like, so it was surreal to be the mucky muck. It was surreal to just navigate Manhattan.
About mucky mucks is once one of them drops out, the rest of them are like, I can't look bad by working harder than the other mucky mucks. So let's have the lower mucky muck come and right. Like, who is the lower mucky muck? It's Amber. Let her go. She has an ILC.
Yeah, very, very strange. And Thursday night after that first event, my boss was like, hey, do you want to go see a show with me on Broadway? And I was like, absolutely. And he's like, it's on me. I don't know if I should even be saying this. So I was like, great. We were going to see Shucked.
Was that you saying that or was that your boss saying that? But I don't know if I should even be saying this.
Like, I was like, I don't know.
I shouldn't tell this detail about it.
Yeah. But because he couldn't come, the tickets still existed. So he
was. That's how tickets are, yeah.
Yeah. So he gave them to me, and I found someone who worked the event with me to go with me. Uh-huh. But that was another one that I was like, yeah, let's go see the show, whatever. And we get there, and the ushers keep just directing us closer and closer to the stage. And I was
good,
like,
good seats.
Oh, yeah. We were in the front fucking row. I was like,
the Bob Mueller treatment.
I texted my boss and I was like, sir, we are in the front row. And he was like, I thought it was the second row. I was like, I sent him a video where I panned around and then I just went down where you can see the orchestra like directly under me. And so that was really fun and incredible because, again, I didn't pay for that. Right. It was borderline.
And had you paid for it, it would have been
quite a bit. I'm
fairly
guessing.
Expensive. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was borderline too intense because making eye contact with farmers. Like, I'm like,
fuck me a lady tonight.
Totally. I'm like, you're doing a good job.
Oh, look at the mucky muck in the front row.
That's what I like. Yeah, all of it was like, this isn't my life. Who is this person?
But it was, are you allowed to say what the show was?
Yeah, I saw Shucked. It's about corn.
The oyster musical.
No, it's about corn, and it was really great. It was really fun and funny, and I recommend it. And yeah, it was very surreal, very crazy. And the next night, I was there again by myself. I had a friend in New York I was trying to meet up with, but now my friends have like kids. So when I was available, it wasn't a good time for them. And so I was like, I'm so tired from
working
outside.
I don't
want
to see your kids. No,
No, I was so
not interested. I won't be in attendance.
From working outside all day. So I was like, I'll just entertain myself in the city. And I went and I bought tickets to another Broadway show. And I went and saw Goodnight Oscar, which is not a musical, but it's Sean Hayes just won a Tony for it, a Grammy, an Emmy. I like went through all of them. A Tony for
it. You got a Tony for Oscar. And
yes, it was very confusing. And that was wild because between working on things, I went to get the tickets at TKTS. And
Times Square.
Correct. And I got there. They said, like, try to get there an hour before it opens. And I did that. And I'm, like, working the whole time on my phone. Mm-hmm. It is 100 degrees out. All of the humidity in the world. And there was a moment that I was like, I'm going to pass out. Like, I was like, this is, like, going to be a medical emergency. Because everyone else waiting in line was with their families and had, like, umbrellas and people bringing them, like, water and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no. This is bad. Yeah. But I was able to get like a half off ticket. So I got like a really good one, especially because I haven't spent any money on this trip to New York. So I was like, why not? So I was in like the seventh row center and I went and saw like
half. Not the front row. Not the front row.
Sure is it. I was like, what? I can't even.
Was that at the Lucille Lortel? No, I don't know.
No, it was at the Belasco. And Shucked was at the Nederlander. The Belasco is beautiful. Oh my God. But yeah, like I took myself out to dinner at a little diner and then
there's
I went.
Jeff.
That's Jeff. He can't hear you because I have headphones on. he's going to pick up dinner for us because he's very nice. But yeah, I took myself out to dinner. I took myself out to a show and then I walked back to my hotel. Like it
where,
felt
where, okay. So here are my questions. Where were you staying?
Yes. That was the funny thing about being in New York is like, I went probably like a 10 to 15 block radius, but I was like, I could do other stuff, but I'm stretching myself.
You could spend a lifetime in two blocks in New York
City.
You know?
So I was staying on, I think, 52nd between Madison and 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that 52nd sound like
Street, of course, the inspiration for the great Billy Joel album, 52nd Street. And, Madison and 5th. Madison, of course, the inspiration for the great
for the president
of the United States, the 5th president. And 5th, of course, is the inspiration for how much Jack Daniels you could drink in one night. Or some people can, not everybody.
I was doing the thing where you like walk before it turns green because you know no more cars are coming. Like I was like getting really proud of like, I'm doing it. I'm a real big city girl.
Right. New York is getting, freaking like, cool.
I was getting like annoyed at the tourists, even though I fully was one.
Please watch where you're walking and stop drifting sideways.
Well, also being by yourself, it's pretty easy. Yeah. To navigate it, mm-hmm. I could see how it is more cumbersome when you're with like a large group of people, but I could be kind of slithery. But
52nd Madison and 5th, that's a nice area. I mean, that's right where the Statue of Liberty is, right?
Correct. And Coney Island. it felt very, because one of the women at the event came in from Boston and she was like, I saw a fight outside my hotel and like, oh, I'm so scared of the city. And I was like, this neighborhood feels so sanitary and clean. Yeah. And like, I'm sure there are rough parts of New York. We ain't in it.
that is the conventional wisdom right now is you cannot walk on the street in New York without getting stabbed. Like, there's such a relentless campaign
about
misinformation.
LA too.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just such a, like, it's a political talking point, obviously.
Right.
But what a weird thing to push so hard, like, the liberal cities are burning, you know?
Right. I mean, they're hot.
Thanks, Joe Biden. Yes. They're literally burning, but they're not literally burning. But, you know, that was what I was saying when the last time I was in New York was, and it was only 75 degrees and I was drenched in sweat, is like the humidity. Like, I forget how bad the humidity is there, because in LA, you just never have that problem.
We had it last summer, and hopefully that doesn't happen.
And then you go there and you're like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. I was showering like three times a day, because I'd shower like before work, and then I'd shower before I went to the show, and then I'd shower after the show, because I was like, I'm not going to lay in bed like this. This is disgusting. So
what restaurant did you go to?
I have no restaurant story. I got, before Shucked, we got like good pizza. Mm-hmm. Somebody said it was a good place, but in that area. Uh-huh. And then I got a street hot dog before I was waiting for TKTS.
Gotta go with the street hot dog.
And it was,
by the way, is it TKTS or is it?
I think it's TKTS because.
But why do we know that? Like, I feel like everybody always says TKTS, and it's more Broadway to me to go.
Well, I think it's just, that's hard to communicate. It sounds just like there's gas leaking or something.
Something bad is happening to that guy over there. I think he's just waiting for TKTS to open. He just keeps saying. So street hot dog, and then you went somewhere.
Oh, Well, that's the other thing is, like, every time I'd be like, oh, I should go have dinner. And I'm like, oh, no, I am the most hungry I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, like, cooled down in my hotel, and I finally was like, okay, it's time for dinner. Like, I'm not gonna walk. I want to walk in the direction I'm going. I don't want to exude any more calories. Mm-hmm. And so I just found a diner that was like a block or two away from the theater I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was like, was this a dumb choice? And then it wasn't. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I ordered like a tuna melt because that felt very New York. And then I was like, is this a dumb choice? And then two locals sat down right next to me and they ordered tuna melts. And I was like, yes.
Hey, Bobby, let me get what you're known for, the tuna melt. You know what? I like the usual. You know, just some English muffin with a couple of pounds of tuna and a little bit of cheese on top.
Exactly. I didn't eat any great cuisine. Like, I ate very almost like children's food the whole time, but it was all very good.
Yeah. You can't go wrong at a New York diner. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was fun.
We don't all have to go to, I wish I knew the name of a fancy restaurant in New York.
Sure.
Lanes.
Like Sardo's. That's a thing, right?
Sardines, yes. Sardo's. Right. We're both making references from the 1950s right now.
The Coca Cabana. Oh, fuck. Ricky. Rick.
Yeah. Lou Chow's.
But it was also surreal in the sense that I was in this big, bustling city surrounded by so many people, but I also was alone more than I usually am because I live with my husband and my dog and I go to work in an office. So it was like strangely meditative. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I would have lost my mind if it was 2 days longer. But
I feel like you're almost brainstorming a one person Broadway musical right now. Like I live with my husband and my dog. I go to work in an office. But here I am in a bustling metropolis and I'm all alone.
And Goodnight Oscar is I think it's mostly fictional, but based on true events of a time that Oscar Levant came on the Jack Parr show.
Classic moment when Oscar Levant went on the Jack Parr show.
Well, I
then they went to Sardi's afterwards, right? And then dancing at the Copacabana.
But it introduced me to the idea of who Oscar Levant is.
And
so
would you elaborate on who Oscar Levant is? Sure.
He was a piano player. He like famously in An American in Paris, he's like the friend who plays the piano. Uh-huh. He's like Gene Kelly's American friend who's like, I say like witty one-liners and I play the piano and I'm just a schlup. Mm-hmm. And he was a contemporary of Gershwin. They were friends and he played a lot of his music, but was also like jealous that he wasn't Gershwin. And
they both hated Cole Porter.
I mean, who doesn't?
With all his cocaine and champagne.
But at least according to this play, I don't want to treat like this play as...
It was not a documentary. There may have been alterations made for dramatic purposes.
At least according to this play, Oscar Levant dealt with a lot of mental health issues and addiction issues, but was also incredibly funny, sort of like a Dorothy Parker one-liner, cynical, witty banter. So I went back to my hotel and it was like clips of Oscar Levant, like was what I watched good. And it was. But all of that said, on the flight home, one of the movies that I could watch was An American in Paris. And I was like, let's do this. Because I've seen it before, but I didn't fully remember Oscar Levant.
American in Paris is where Sean Hayes plays the friend of Gene Kelly who plays the piano.
Yes, but so he's a pianist and Sean Hayes is a like virtuoso piano player. So there's like a very dramatic, it isn't a musical, but there's like a climactic moment where Sean Hayes like actually plays the piano and it's incredible. So
that was it the real, I'm assuming it was the real Jack Parr playing himself. Yeah.
It was like a guy younger than me.
Who never heard of Jack Parr, even after he got cast. He was like, right. What the fuck am I playing?
Well, and it was funny because a couple of the funny lines that Oscar Levant says in the play, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I made note. Like one of them is under this flabby exterior, underneath I have a real lack of character or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching An American in Paris and that is a line in the movie. And I was like, okay.
I believe that's called plagiarizing.
Well, like, yes, it's an Oscar Levantism, but in a movie written by somebody. That somebody wrote, yeah. But I think
guy was witty whenever he said what other people wrote for him.
I think they took anything he was famous for saying and kind of shoved it in this play, uh-huh. which is fair. But, like, Sean Hayes was incredible. I get why he won the Tony, because he did a lot of physicality, a lot of, like, he changed his voice and his... He did a lot of choices. And I almost forgot about it, but then when he did the curtain call, he dropped them all, and he looked like a different human being. He looked mm-hmm. like Sean Hayes again. So I was like, wow, that's acting. All right, good job.
I would have been more impressed if he looked like Woody Hayes.
But yeah,
if you're playing along at home, look that up. Ohio State coach who punched his own player and got fired for it.
But yeah, I went to New York and it was a whirlwind, and not to use a Jamie-ism, but it really was. But it also, I was working and I was like answering emails in between things, but it didn't feel like a work week. Right. It felt like I had because Monday was a holiday, Tuesday was a holiday. I flew out Wednesday and then I flew back Saturday.
Right.
So it kind of feels like this is like I had a whole week off, or at least mm-hmm. different.
Right. And you also did things that you don't ordinarily do, going to shows, going to diners. You never go to diners out here.
Never. Well, even just sleeping in a bed by myself. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah.
All right. Well, so what else? Anything else?
I feel like that's enough.
Okay. Well, I would like to do my checking in now. And yeah, it's ironic that you say the thing about sleeping in bed by yourself. Because first of all, let me just say this story is going to get a little bit racy.
Not old enough.
So if you have small children, you might want to take them out of the room right now. Because yes, we're going to get into some things.
I don't know if I can handle this.
Well, I'll try to be as discreet as I possibly can. But I will say that this happened last night. I was in a bed with a particular young person. Yes.
Who likes Vanderpump Rules?
Yes. that is funny. But this person is the owner of a canine.
Oh no, this keeps happening to you.
But as it turns out, I mean, this is how I have discovered that I am no longer allergic. I have not had a problem with this.
That's great.
Particular canine. So it's been great, actually. And the dog, so the dog is very anxious and very fussy and not gets very doesn't like when there's any kind of physical movement around the dog and interferes and sort of, you know, gets in the way of things.
Yeah.
And so last night we were in the bedroom, and
this is so funny.
One thing led to another.
It's too bad Joe isn't here. He would be losing his mind.
Yeah. So one thing led to another, and as happens sometimes in relationships, things began to become slightly physical. And as has happened multiple times in the past, the dog got very excited and, you know,
like, stop it,
wiggled its way in between and was pushing apart and, you know, and we've dealt with it in various ways and whatever, but we've never really said, how do we solve this? Like, what do we do to solve this?
Band-Aids, not
difficulty. Right. Like, in the moment, it's like, oh, here's a thing that you can get distracted with and we'll be in the other room for a little while. But, you know, never have we said, is there a way to make this not a problem on a regular basis?
Yes. Yeah.
And so this time it was kind of like, okay, enough is enough. There has to be information out there that other people have shared about solving this.
What did you Google?
I think that's a really good question because this is the problem is that, okay, so it's the middle of the night, right? Mm-hmm. It's very dark. Mm-hmm. And my phone is on the bedside table. And I pick up my phone to Google and I put in what I'm going to Google and I hit return and something weird happens. And then I hit again and I realized that my phone was open to Facebook to a listener of this show who had sent me a DM, which people do sometimes.
My God.
And sent me a DM about something on our last episode. And was like, it was something about Ireland and like a song about Shankill Road and all this stuff. And I sent the Google terms I was Googling.
Which were insane, probably.
Insane!
That's
take a guess. I will say it. And again, if you're small children, leave the room because this is inappropriate.
Like, I don't like. How to keep dog like away sex or something, like, because you don't have to like have like a full sentence.
I think that would have been even more, that would have been better than what I wrote.
Oh no. Because
all mine said was, so it's like there. It's from a person I've never met who's a listener of this show, and I hope
they're listening
right now.
Oh my God.
And it's like, oh, there's this beautiful song about the Shankill Road, and it's called this, and you know, this very sweet note about, you know,
and
whatever.
The only response, and then
only response is cock blocked by dog.
That is gorgeous. Did they respond?
Well, luckily, I immediately had a panic attack, and the particular young person that I was with, in between gales of laughter, was able to unsend the message. So all it said was message unsent. The person never
even more
saw
mysterious.
It. Yes.
That is such a hilarious thing to just send someone.
I woke up this morning and there was another message from this person that just said, the mysterious unsend. And I was like, you do not want to know what you almost got in the middle of the night.
So good.
Oh my God. I was like, I really had like a meltdown in the moment. I was like, oh my God, I just sent this to a person I've never met. I feel like I could be arrested for this. Is this a crime?
It's funny because it reminds me of two reoccurring jokes on the other two. Mm-hmm. One is like they always show them Googling things and how they phrase it so stupid, where it's just like Lisa Vanderpump. Age how, or it's not in like correct, but then the other one is the fact that their mom keeps accidentally tweeting things she means to be texting people. And you kind of did a combination.
I did a version of that, yes, absolutely, and it almost was a disaster.
That is so funny. Well, it's like, it's hilarious, but it also is harmless in the sense that it wasn't like graphic or personal. It just was bizarre.
Well, I guess, but imagine if you're this person and you're like opening your heart to this person who's podcast you've been listening to for 46 years, and you're like, hey, this is something you would really like. And then they text you back, cock blocked by dog.
And it's also like, what are you trying to tell me? Like, are you calling me the dog?
I don't know how to take this.
That's a good one.
Can I ask some follow-up questions? Yeah, like, it's just like...
Oh, that's...
So, or they would just never, like, there's also a version where they would just never respond and be like, okay, that guy is fucking crazy. Like, I don't know what goes on with him. But anyway, here's two more things I'll say. One is nobody had any good information from that Google. All it was like, shut the door, put the dog in the other room. And it's like, that is not going to solve our problem. Trust me.
Give him a treat.
Yeah. Like it's more than
wait, that. Why? Because he can open doors
or
be loud
or like
distracting.
Lose their mind scratching at the door and being crazy. Oh, and then here's the other thing. I texted you about this, but like I feel like I have to mention it on the show because we are talking about Vanderpump Rules. We were at the Garland Hotel and we saw in the pool Ariana. So
was she a vision in real life?
No, she just looked like a regular person. And I barely even, like, I would have never noticed her, but the young person I was with was like, oh, there's, you know, who we've been watching.
You actually watch calling this person young person so much. I might have to call the police.
Well, I don't want to say that they're not that young because then
it's the same person.
Yes. Well, I think of myself as a young person.
Sure, so, sure, sure.
You know,
this extremely young person.
Young, inexperienced, unwise person.
Yeah, that's very.
But anyway, it was very exciting to see Ariana in real life. And then later in the day, we found her like almost exactly the same angle of photo that we took from the pool was on her Instagram.
And you're like,
yeah,
it adds up.
Right. So mystery solved. So anyway, that was my big,
oh my God. That's one of the best ones. You win.
That's crazy. It was crazy.
So good. What's fun is this is how that person will know that that happened.
I know. And I was torn. I was like, do I talk about this? Do I not talk about this? But like, it seemed like it was, and it's so specific to this show as well. You know, like,
well, and like, why would your Facebook chat be what's like, it is
very, crazy. Very weird. Yeah. All right. So it's time for a segment on the show that we like to call Parting Shots. So let's start tonight with Amber, Parting Shots.
Yes, I have something to talk about that I haven't been talking about on purpose. We'll get to that anyway. And at the risk of sounding like Jamie and the Immaculata, I just passed 6 months without drinking. And I basically at the beginning of the year, I just wanted to kind of check in with my relationship on alcohol and see if I could do it. And then I was like, let's see if I could do a month. And then I was like, let's see if I could do 3 months. And then I've made it to 6 months. So I keep just saying I'm not drinking right now. I'm not saying I quit completely because I might drink again. But I just want to be like more conscious with it. But the fact that I've gone to like drag shows and weddings and flew across the country and went to New York and did all of that sober, I'm pretty fucking proud of myself.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know what is going to come of it. I might start drinking again, but right now I really like it. Like, it's nice waking up and not feeling like crap. And I feel like I have less anxiety. I still have anxiety, but I feel like I have less anxiety.
I read recently that, you know, because obviously drinking is a way that a lot of people deal with anxiety. Yeah. And I think that the end result is actually increasing anxiety.
Yeah.
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 Like, it takes it away in the moment, but causes more in the long
run
or walk, depending on whether you're a jogger.
And I purposely wasn't talking about it because I realized at the beginning, if saying like, I haven't had alcohol for 2 weeks, I was like, ooh, now I sound like an alcoholic. Like, that sounds worse. Right. Like, I needed to have like a legit milestone to talk about.
Right. It's been 12 hours since I drank a fifth of Jack Daniels.
But it's like not like has a big problem, but like Jeff still drinks occasionally. There's like beer in the house. Like, I'm just not even tempted. We were at a beer garden yesterday and
you were like, I'm just here for the garden. I love flowers.
Exactly. Exactly. but yeah, it's wild because that it didn't seem possible at one point in my life to do all of that. Especially that I've talked about going to that wedding and how I had like dance floor blue balls. Mm-hmm. That was a huge part of it. I was stone cold sober and the music wasn't danceable. So I was like, I was so forcing it, but I got there and I had a great time. And also when I do go hard with dancing, it's like inconvenient to have a drink in my hand. So I might as well just skip that part. Right. And I go so hard that everyone thinks I'm drunk.
Right.
But I'm not.
Don't drink and dance. You might spill your drink.
Totally. And it sounds almost silly, but having fun at social events without alcohol makes it feel like more of an accomplishment. Like, I am a fun person without anything else.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't know how long this will last. But yeah, I'm working out hard and I'm not drinking. And who am I? I journal every day.
I mean, I feel that way every week when I talk to you. I'm like, who are you? Well, I think that's really interesting. And I will say, and you know, I don't think we've ever talked about this. I haven't had a drink in over 4 years at this point.
Really?
Yeah. And
holy shit, congrats.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, 6 months.
I know. What a loser.
But it was kind of a similar thing where I just was at a point where I was like, I don't know if this is okay. And I just was like, this isn't really doing anything for me. And I want to, and you know, similarly to what you're saying, I still hung out in bars. I mean, I still am going to write my autobiography, which is all of my best friends are bartenders. And, you know, went to parties and went to, you know, I'm still a maniac on the dance floor on a regular basis.
You're still doing hard drugs too.
Oh, absolutely. but your point is well taken, which is it's nice to just get up in the morning and not be dealing with the consequences of the night before, you know?
Right. So you did the whole pandemic just like,
and I go, thank
awake.
Fucking God I did that, because I think I would have, if I was drinking during the pandemic, I think it would have been, it could have gotten really bad.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
And I think I know people that happened to where it was like, I have nothing to do, so I'm just going to do this all the time. I was talking to a couple of other comics recently who are both sober and in programs and, you know, all kinds of things. And for way longer than I have not had a drink. And I was like, yeah, I just, none of that stuff ever appealed to me. I didn't feel like I needed any of that. I just kind of woke up one day and that was it, you know?
That's amazing. There wasn't like a turning point?
Mm-mm. No, I mean, the turning point was probably 1987 or something like that. So I was way past the turning point. Delayed
response.
Yeah, yeah. It literally was a thing where I woke up and I was like, not going to do that anymore.
That's incredible.
But similarly to what you're saying, I mean, it has been over 4 years, but I'm like, I don't know that it's going to be forever. I'm not saying.
Right. But you went to Ireland, which is all about.
Right. Ireland is the booze capital of the world. and it was funny because it was, I talked about how we went to high tea, mm-hmm. and before they served out the tea, they brought out champagne for everybody because it was, you know, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's what they regularly do, if it was because my cousin was getting married or whatever, but they were like, have some champagne. And I was like, no, I'll just have the tea or whatever. I'll try not to spill the tea about how I'm having the tea.
Sure.
But the guy really was trying to insist, like the, I don't know if it's called a waiter or the tea butler or, you know, whatever the.
Teaman.
The teenist. but he was like, are you sure you don't want the champagne for the toast? We're going to have a toast. You got to have some for the toast. And I was like, nah, I'm okay. So he's like, I get you sparkling.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah. He was obviously, I'm doing that because he was very Irish. That's where his accent was from. But yeah, so anyway, I think that's great that you're doing that. And I think that, you know, I don't know. I just think it's good. Like, I think, yeah, for me, there was an element of like anxiety that was a thing, you know, and it wasn't just because of that, but that was certainly part of like, well, I'll just have 11 shots of tequila and I won't be anxious anymore. But there's just all kinds of shit that goes along with that, you know?
Yes. Well, and the more you read about it, there's really
there's no good reason to do it. Yeah.
There's no positive.
I mean, there was that whole thing for a while of like one or two drinks is good for you.
Yeah, that's a myth, actually.
Totally false.
Yeah.
And of course, that was pushed very hard by the alcohol industry.
Of course. Yeah.
And there's also the people who read that and go, well, one or two is good. So probably three or four is better.
Right.
It just like opens the door. And there's so many things about it that are not good. And, you know, no shame to anybody who keeps doing it and whatever, but it feels good not to, you know.
That's hilarious that we're accidentally a sobriety podcast.
Without knowing it for so long.
But right. Well, because I did drink through the pandemic, and that was part of the reason that I was like, I got to look at this because every day was the same. And so I would drink pretty heavily on Fridays because it was the way I like marked that it was the weekend.
Day. Yeah.
And that pattern just kind of kept. And it wasn't like I was like, I never was like, I don't know, beating people up or like I wasn't spinning out of control, but it was just like, I don't want to do this mindlessly. I want it to be a choice.
It sounds wise. It sounds like wisdom, you know, of like, what am I getting from this and what am I losing because of this?
Oh yeah. And then I would lose like Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. Doesn't exist. That's over. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day about being late for things and, you know, that I am usually on time for things, except, you know, Los Angeles is always a crapshoot whether you're going to be on time for things.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, I'm usually on time for things. And when I was drinking, it was very hard to be on time for anything. Like, it just felt like I was always a step slow, you know? And I walked everywhere. So I was always one step late for everything because of that slow step. So anyway, folks, we will see you at the meeting.
This is it. We're doing
it. Oh, right. This is the meeting. Yes, we are going to take our steps. Speaking of steps. Well, you always learn something new on the Long Shot podcast.
Look at this.
And if anybody has suggestions that I might take if I was Googling cock blocked by dog, I would appreciate finding. I can't imagine that I'm the only person who's ever dealt with that, you know?
But if it's anything like anything I've dealt with that has to do with dogs, you're not going to find good information. You will find the exact opposite, like, never do this, always do this. Like, it's nightmarish. You just have to choose.
Navigate, figure it out.
But also, cocked blocked by dog could be the name of your autobiography. Or like a
memoir. The subtitle, and the subtitle is All of My Best Friends Are Bartenders.
Yes, exactly. And people are like, I got to read this.
Folks, this has been The Long Shot. It is a podcast. We do it every week, and we are, for the time being, quite sober. So
sorry.
We are not fun, we are not cool, and we don't enjoy ourselves. So please hit like, hit subscribe. Find us on YouTube. Find us on Gitter, Rumble, Truth Social,
Snapchat.
Snapchat. And we will see you next time on The Long Shot. And this time I'm going to remember to stop.
There's trouble here, clearly. It's large and it's near me. I wish you could hear me. But how can I merely go call out to someone I once loved so dearly and assume that you're not gonna notice? I loved you forever. You're quick and you're clever. I promised I'd never love anyone better. But now I'll abandon this wretched endeavor. And time marches on till you find me. I'm a brutal believer. You're a tongue-tied late teether. There's nobody neater. You're my own fire breather. I don't know your name, but I don't want to either. And how can you tell that I'm swimming? I don't know if you're reading a bit too much into the bleeding, but it's true, I would gush two times harder if that's what you asked me to do. If that's what you asked me to do.